Grace and peace are yours from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My name is Andy Basenecker. I'm the pastor and mission developer at Mustard Seed House Churches, and because Lutherans love acronyms, we're called a SOC by the ELCA. That's a synodically authorized worshiping community, probably the worst way you could ever market a new community. But we're here, and we're in the Rocky Mountain Synod of the ELCA. At present, I pastor three different house churches, two up in Fort Collins and one here in Loveland. A bit about us and this thing we call church. Mustard Seed currently consists of about 46 people. We've welcomed 20 new people into our community since December of last year. At present, 85% of those people who regularly attend Mustard Seed activities, and that includes worship and service and outreach opportunities and social events, 85% of those folks are what we would call unchurched or de-churched people, if that term's familiar to you, folks who don't necessarily have a congregation that they call home. Of the 46 people who are regulars, only 7 are members at other churches, and not all those churches are Lutheran. And the beautiful thing for me in all that is those 7 people actually haven't stopped worshiping at their congregation of origin. They worship at both now. So before we dig into the Ten Commandments this morning, on behalf of all of us at Mustard Seed, I want to say thank you. Zion Lutheran has been an important mission partner over the course of the past year. Your generosity, the vision of your pastors and leaders, your financial support, in part, this has all made ministry at Mustard Seed possible. And for that, I, along with the rest of the community, am grateful. Thank you. One of the things I've mentioned before that's challenging about pastoring a new community of faith is that there's no communal memory. Our identity as a faith community in the ELCA and as a church is still evolving. It's emerging. There's no, we've always done it that way at Mustard Seed. Most everything we do is something we're trying out for the first time. So there's always a lot of experimentation, a lot of figuring out what works and what doesn't work, and a lot of owning up to it when we fall on our faces and need to try again. We're not exactly a church made up of people who are looking to replicate their previous experiences with organized religion. In some ways, that's a blessing, but in other ways, it means that planning even the simplest of events can be a lot like herding cats on some days. We're not a church of people who know how to do church, and that's okay. In many ways, I believe it's actually a beautiful gift. We're learning slowly what it means to be in community with each other, to worship God in diverse ways, and to be in relationship with each other, to be a part of this thing we call church. It takes time. It takes a lot of one-on-one conversations. It involves a lot of trust building. It means hearing things about the church that on some days I'd just rather not hear. But somewhere in the middle of all that, I think we're also learning a little bit more about our identity, who we are as church, and who we are as children of God. And so this week, as I was struggling to write something even remotely interesting about the Ten Commandments, what they do, what they mean for us today, somewhere along the line, I read a commentary that framed these verses a little differently. Because while it's easy to read these passages from Exodus and focus in on the laundry list of things we're supposed to do and not do, I think there's actually another piece that's easy to overlook. A piece that's less about the do's and don'ts of the Ten Commandments and more about the identity. The identity given to the Israelites by God. If you'll read back, you'll notice that before God gives these commandments to Moses, in chapter 19, God goes out and tells the Israelites that you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, God says, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Before God delivers the law to God's people, God tells the Israelites who they are. Yes, they are to obey the voice and commands of God and to keep the covenant, but also, and perhaps more importantly, that they are a treasured people, that they're treasured by God, holy, that they're a priestly kingdom. And for me, that sense of identity that is given to the Israelites by God is perhaps more important than those do's and don'ts, especially when you consider the reality that these words are spoken to a people who have left everything, everything they have ever known behind them, all they have, homes, meager possessions, former selves, their previous sense of identity, all of it gone. Sure, they've been delivered time and time again, but to what and to where, they don't know. And yet somewhere in the middle of all that, we see once again that God's word is a creative word. It does something. It creates something out of nothing. To these people who are physically and spiritually transient, lost and wandering, it is to these people that God gives an identity. God claims God's people, this wandering, nomadic, ungrateful, whiny bunch. God claims them as God's treasured possession. What an absurd thing to do. What a beautiful thing to do. And for the people at Mustard Seed, I think that's incredibly important as well. Because while thousands of years and thousands of miles stand between us and the Israelites and you and me and the people who come to Mustard Seed, I believe that they are looking for, we are looking for, waiting for, hungry for, the same thing. That unique sense of identity that can come to us only from God alone. You see, I think the people at Mustard Seed, you and me, all of us, I believe that we're desperately waiting to hear those words, that same thing, that we too are loved and accepted, that in the midst of messy and complicated lives, that we too are treasured by God. I think we long for that beautiful gift too. You see, the other reason why I identify so strongly with this identity piece in this passage is simply this. The people who come to Mustard Seed, I think they're largely familiar with the Ten Commandments, with the law of God. But they've also been given a few commandments of their own along the way, over the course of their difficult and sometimes traumatic history with the church. They've been told over and over again that thou shalt not question the pastor or the teachings of the church. There's days when that would be convenient. That thou shalt agree with everything you read in the Bible. That thou shalt follow blindly, and that the world is just black and white. That thou shalt ignore gifts from God, like curiosity and doubt. That thou shalt treat the world around you, especially those who are in it and those who are different than you, with fear and distrust. That thou shalt bide thy time on earth until thou dies, and hopefully, if you've played your cards right, thou can go to heaven. It's kind of fun to throw those thous in there. Thou shalt welcome some people, but not other people. Thou shalt treat the grace of God as if there's a limited supply, and there's really not enough for everybody, so you better ration that stuff out before you run out. Now make no mistake. The law in and of itself, the Ten Commandments, these aren't bad things. Like the identity you and I receive from God, the law too is a gift from God. For the Israelites, much of their identity is wrapped up in that law. And for us as people of faith, I believe there's actually a sense of purpose that flows out of the law. It shapes our life together in community with each other. It guides us. And I think most importantly, it pushes us beyond ourselves. It pushes us to care for others, even when we'd rather not, even when the person in front of us is pretty difficult to love at the moment. The law and the Ten Commandments also call on us. And they call us on some difficult things about ourselves and our world. The law roots us deeply in our world. The Ten Commandments push us to care for others around us and the world around us. And that's a beautiful thing. But see, the thing is, the people I work with, more often than not, they've been left out of that first part of the conversation, that identity part. They've often experienced the harshness of God's law and a few other convenient laws that we humans have formed along the way in order to exclude one group or another, but they've not heard God's gracious words that I believe extend forward in time to them too, claiming them as God's own, loving them as God's own, welcoming them and inviting them into the fold, and then putting them to work for the sake of the world. Many of the folks at Mustard Seed have been able to believe that those words, that identity is true and possible for somebody else, but they've never been able to hear it and know it as being true for them too, as being real for them too. And so I think they've been robbed of the one thing that you and I cling to above all else, that unique and amazing and sometimes perplexing sense of identity that comes to us by the grace of God alone. Many of the people at Mustard Seed have been robbed of that promise too, that they too are beloved children of God, that they too are treasured by God. But even today, God's word still does what it says, creating out of nothing, even out of silence or loss or hurt or despair. Even in new churches, even in churches that have been around for a while, God can and still does create a new identity for God's children. I've seen it happen, and I suspect you have too. A few weeks back at Mustard Seed, we baptized 3 children. I was fortunate enough to get to baptize my own daughter. They don't prepare you for that. It's an incredible moment. 2 elementary school children and my own daughter, 2 school-age children who, after attending Mustard Seed for over a year, told their parents that they wanted to be baptized. So we gathered around them at Horseshoe Lake a few weeks ago. Almost 50 of us gathered there by the shore, and a few of us walked into the water, and we baptized those awesome, energetic, nervous, curious little creatures in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We gave thanks. We gave thanks for their new identity in Christ Jesus, and we made promises. We made promises that not just the parents, not just the sponsors, but we, all of us as a community, would live among them, bring them to hear the word of God, share in the holy meal, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the 10 Commandments, place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, give them permission, space and courage to ask hard questions, surround them with love and compassion when they have doubts, encourage their creativity and playfulness, allow their faith and curiosity to shape our faith, and nurture them in faith and prayer, so that they will learn to love and trust God, to proclaim Christ crucified through word and deed, to care for others and the world God has made, and to work for justice and peace for all people. We gave thanks that no matter what, these children, our children, have been given a new identity and are treasured and loved by God. We gave thanks that their story and their identity was now woven together with those who had come long before them and those who will be around long after they are gone. The promise, this thing about new identity, it became real for so many of us that day. And for that, for a God who still claims God's children out of the wilderness of this world, out of our world, for communities like the one here at Zion and for your brothers and sisters at Mustard Seed, we give thanks to God. Amen.